start the last session for today. So it was a good discussion for me to discuss with you, because it seems to me we have to think about these questions. Whether we like it or not, English is important. But if it's brought with pride, people reject it. The French, we are an example. You come to Paris and you speak only American English, it's the worst you can do. The French, they will not even serve you in a cup of coffee. They will play the dumb people. And you will hate it. That's what we call passive aggressivity. If they see an American person saying, "Bonjour, comment allez-vous?" and who say a few words in French, they will be very interested in asking your help in learning some English. And they will see you struggle, then they will be ready to speak with their broken English and will want to receive help from you. We have a fundamental missional element here. People are not expecting you to see them as self-centered. They don't expect you to bow and adapt only to their culture. They want a real encounter. A real encounter means you adapt to them so that in return they can adapt to you. And since you come, for some of you, from the American culture, which has such a huge international impact, if they see humility in you, they will say, "Teach me English, help me please." And if you do it with humility, they will bless you, and you can use that, as some of you have shared, as a powerful tool for evangelism. Do we think we are a little bit in agreement on that? Okay, so my hope with this graphic is very simple. If we have to translate it completely in all the language, it will be a headache. If we keep the English and translate just the second language, it's way easier for me, and it can become a tool for you to teach Bible in the local language, but with elements which can become even a tool to teach English and scriptures together, so that you don't focus on the American culture, but on the biblical culture. Do you think it would be usable? Do you think in Poland people would be okay to have a part in English and a part in Polish on the tool? You think? What about Romania? Do you think Relu people would say, "No, there are some words in English, I want everything in Romanian"?
I think the Romanians in general are open to English.
So yeah, it would be okay, a piece of it would be... What do you think, Dalia, in your context?
I don't know, it's kind of different in Croatia, because there is a big tradition of translating Bible.
Translating Bible.
Yeah. So we are already struggling with having few version of Croatian Bibles,
yes,
and trying to discern which one is better,
yes,
which one is more appropriate. So
yes. Would a tool where you have a part in English and a part in Croatian be usable in your context?
Probably.
Do you think people would reject that? Or?
No, it wouldn't be rejected.
Okay, I'm probing with you because...
I'd be cautious how and when to use it.
Do you think if it was only Croatian, it would be more efficient?
Depends.
So
yes,
it's not a big push to... Because for me, it's a help to hear you to say, if you tell me no, translate completely in the local language, don't keep some parts in English. It helps me to know, to say, okay, in your context, we need to have complete translated tools, which means there will be less tools of this type. If you tell me, yes, it's okay to have a part in English, a part in the local language, it's easier. Because I can have you translate and adapt it and work with Jay to have the part in the, you remove the Greek, of course, and you put the local language. Or some of you will say, no, we remove the English, we keep the Greek, and we put the local. What, you could do that also. So it's a practical issue for me for how to make these tools. Articles of faith, to translate it in Arabic or in Croatian, of course we need to do that. For the whole biblical tools, that will be a tricky part. If you can function with a half English, half Croatian tool, at a practical level it would help for me to minimize the efforts and for you to adapt that quickly. So that's why I ask you. Okay, let's see how this tool works. So the basics are visual learning, as you have seen. So for instance, we will learn together the last part of chapter 24. We'll connect the three parts. One, which is being knowledge, learning key elements of key verses. Second level, we learn in interaction so that we network the classroom. We build the body of Christ in a way where it's fun and people value it. The third element, we lead people to dialogue with Jesus and receive words from Jesus to tell us how he wants us to apply these words. Not only your analytical thinking, because often we have done that. We said, now think how to apply that. In doing that, we put God out of the equation. We have to learn to let God be the center and to say, God, how do you want me to put that in practice? It's a very different approach. You have begun to feel through the last days, I guess, the difference. Let's see together the first story. Watch, it's the first 36 to 44. You see the numbers? So you see the first number, 36? It's the verse 36 to say, no one knows of the day and hour when the Son of God will return, when Jesus will return. That's a key one because many people are spending a lot of time to read books about when Jesus comes back, how he will come back. They have movies on Left Behind, all that, you know. They have books about the moons, about the things, on how to know. It's an example of the bean knowledge. The most impressive example of this bean knowledge has been the people with the Bible quotes. Have you ever heard of Bible quotes? You analyze, you like it? Is it your
first thing?
It's your first thing in missional techniques. Okay, I'm in trouble now. The Bible codes. I was in Switzerland around 1999, and my pastor in a free evangelical church said, Stefan, I have a lot of people speaking to me about the Bible codes. Could you study that? They said that it predicted the death of Yitzhak Rabin and things like that. It's a way to analyze the Bible mathematically with Hebrew verses, to jump letters with letter, and then the secrets of the Bible are revealed. Like if it's a mystical book for Gnostic language. If we have to use a term of theology, it's Gnosticism which is behind. Knowledge, which says, so we don't need a relationship with God, we just need to find a trick to know when Jesus comes back. So that we can continue to sin and do stupid things, we just need to know when we have to repent the day before. Yeah, you know? It's the story of a rabbi who has people who come to him and say, Rabbi, when do we need to be in order with God? And the rabbi says, you just need to be in order with God the day before your death. The people are first very happy about that. They say, great. And then they say, how can we know the day before our death? Then he tells them, my friend, there is no way prepare today. That's the whole purpose of this chapter, to teach people, watch now. Keep this relationship with God, with the Spirit, now. Because you don't know when Jesus will come back. You don't know the day when you will die. That's the reason why this watching, nobody knows. And the tendency of humans is we want to know. But verse 36 says, no one knows of that day and hour, nor even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. When people tell you 2012 is the moment where it's the end of the world, what's your spiritual answer? Sorry, only the Father knows.
You know the month and year, day and hour.
Oh, you want the day and hour also? Let's ask Jesus in prayer, I'm sure he will tell us. We have these questions in many of our churches. Do you have that in Europe also? In general, if I have to use technical terms we have used, it's people who have emphasized so much the big knowledge that they want even to control when Jesus comes back. The whole purpose of the spiritual life is to surrender so that we walk with God and trust Him even to the moment of our death and to the time Jesus comes back. The key part, the purpose of the whole chapter is to learn to be ready, to learn to be with God now. And the whole teaching will be watch. Keep your eyes open, your heart sensitive to God's guidance. So first verse, you see it's at the bottom right, no one knows the day of that day and hour. Then you have the illustration of Noah, verses 37, 38, 39. You see on the right side, on the left side, sorry. So right, no one knows. Example, first the example of Noah. In the days of Noah, nobody thought about it. The flood came, everyone was killed. What's the message in these verses? Nobody knew, except the one sensitive to the voice of God, who was prepared to do what God told him. So, but the key message is, verse 37 to 39, as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of God, or the Son of Man. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. 39, and they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So, we have three verses here. 36, what was the context of verse 36?
No one knows.
37, the days of Noah, same as the days of the Son of Man. Parallel. The two will be the same. Verse 38, explanations in the days of Noah, people were doing everything like nothing will happen. Verse 38. Verse 39, and they didn't know until the flood came, it will be the same with the Son of Man. So they did not realize the flood came, as people will not realize Jesus is coming back. Okay? So, in a simple way, 37, the days of the Son, the day of Noah, it will be the same as the coming of the Son of Man, a similarity. Then, in the days of Noah, people were having fun, 38, or doing everything normally. 39, they did not know when the flood came. As in the days of the Son of Man, people will not know. So remind me, verse 36, what it's about, Relu? 36?
As in the
days
of Noah.
36?
No one knows.
Try to think of the position of the numbers. 36 is on the right side. Bob, what is the verse 30, the content of verse 37?
Also, as in the days of Noah, nobody knows.
Yes. Sarah, what is the content of verse 38? That will be the 39. But just before 39, who could help Sarah?
Mary, eating.
They'll be having fun and eating.
Very good. Yes. Sarah knows a part and does not know a part. I don't say, oh, shame on you, Sarah. Go repent on your knees now. No, we use the classroom, we tap in the potential of the classroom as a learning body. So that Sarah sees the value of the others. We don't blame someone, we say, okay, is there someone helping? And we learn together. Key element, we leverage the potential of the classroom as a learning body. And then, does it make sense?
Yes.
And the, yes?
Okay.
Betsy?
So the teacher needs to release the control of the bin to always have the right answer.
Yes.
To always be the one who gives.
Yes.
So, in our context, this has happened in some of our churches where let's all have a group, a Bible study, but then the person who has spiritual authority will then give the right answer to give.
Yes.
But you're putting the control on the learners.
In the learners as a community.
As a community.
And they see that they are a body which helps each other. And you accept to show vulnerability because you want to be a good model. If you're perfect, nobody can match you. If you're imperfect, but you show yourself as a learner, people are not threatened by you, but they can imitate you, as you imitate Christ. Does it make sense?
But sometimes there is actually a right answer.
Often yes.
There is. And so I've spent in Bible studies where sometimes, like, the conversation is going, like, way over here.
Yes.
You know? And so there is that sort of need sometimes to bring it back around.
Okay. That's a good comment, Sarah. I'm not telling you everything goes. What I'm telling you is you have to validate the positive feedback of the class. Positive encouragement. You remember the fear of God? What do we do with negative, with things which are wrong? We have to correct. So you need to correct when there are wrong issues. If someone says, oh, I've been reading a book about the Bible codes, it's great because it helps us to know when Jesus comes back. Then Sarah has to come and say, my friends, that's not in agreement with scriptures. Look, but your authority, you will connect it with scriptures. The danger is that you don't connect your authority with scriptures. You say, no, theologically, it does not make sense. And you don't articulate it in a way where people can imitate you. That's a dangerous thing, because your authority is not rooted in God, but in a degree, in a position. That's a bad authority. Does it make sense? But you need to be able to connect them to a biblical verse, to something they can understand, so that they can imitate you. Are we okay with that, Dave?
Studies have shown that when people come to the correct answers themselves, those aha moments, they remember.
Yes, that's the hope, that they will come to the correct answer on their own. Sometimes people will come with crazy ideas. This is true. I have seen that. You have seen that. Correct with kindness, but correct. You need to take authority in these moments. Try to take authority in a biblical way, connecting them so that people can understand how the person tells me, no, the reference is here. The biblical text is your foundation. It's your safety net. Teach people to go back and to check what they say in agreement with scriptures. If you do that well, people will get it and will respect more your authority, because your authority is rooted in your relationship with God and scriptures. But don't use scriptures without this heart relationship with God. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search scriptures because you want to have eternal life. But these very scriptures speak about me, and you don't come to me to have eternal life. You know this scripture? Let us be careful that we are good models, having this heart relationship with Jesus and biblical knowledge, not one or the other, both. So that our theological training is connected with our heart prayer life. The two need to be connected, and you have to demonstrate it to the others so that they will want your learning as well as your heart connection. Are we good on this one? So it's... We need balance on this one. So 37, as in the days of Noah, in the same way in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 38.
Fun times.
People will be marrying, enjoying life, and so forth. Like in the days of Noah when people were marrying. 39.
They
did not know the flood was coming. It will be the same at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? So the key word for these three verses, as in the days of Noah. Okay? Then we have a group of two. Verses 40 and 41. It's another illustration. So you have the 36, no one knows the day. How do we know? Examples, days of Noah first. Now, how it will be, verses 40, 41. One will be taken and one will be left. Verse 40 reads, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. So basically, people will be doing stuff. Illustration with men in the field, illustration with women grinding mill. In the two cases, one is taken, one is left. Which means you can be in the field, at the meal, wherever you want. The key is your relationship with God, not where you are. It's not a matter of being in church at the moment where Jesus comes. It's not a matter of being in your bed. It's a matter of, and we will see later, of watching. So we can be taken where, whether we are in the field or we are in the, at the meal. One will be taken, one will be left. So if I hide, so verse 40, what is it, Roberta? Could you remind us what's the content of verse 40? Excellent. Verse 41, really.
Two women
grinding
in the mirror, one will be taken, one will be left.
Yes. What is in common to the two verses, Betsy?
One will be taken, one will be left.
Does it make sense? Simple?
It doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah. You see how we memorize with concepts first and not with words first. Have you noticed? I don't make you repeat without understanding. I want to check you get the ideas. And I want people to memorize ideas so that they can tell the story and they can shift of language easily. If you focus on word perfect, it's hard to translate. If you focus on concepts, you can very easily shift between languages. Okay? The way you teach people will prepare them to shift of either language or levels of knowledge. You can adapt the story because you have a practical knowledge. You can say, one will be working in the field. You don't need the precise words. You can adapt to your context. One will be working in a plant. And one is taken, one the other is left. One will be mending clothes. Women will be mending clothes, one will be taken, one will be left. Your memory is plastic. You get the concept, you can adapt. It's almost a translatable memory. Do you get the point? The way you make people memorize, that's my struggle I have. I'm sorry, I'm supposed not to have struggles. That's a struggle I have with quizzing, which focuses on verse, precise, perfect, and not on understanding. I struggle with that, because I think we can make children memorize in a more efficient way when the memory is more plastic, not focusing on a specific version, but on the concept. Do you understand what I'm sharing? So that they understand. The understanding is first to communicate the gospel. Sandra.
So you're saying it's transferable.
Yes.
The concept, if you learn them, mm-hmm. they can be transferable.
Yes.
To context, language.
Yes. With the visual memory, you can access them in different orders and you can translate them in your local context more easily than if you have a linear rote memory. Unidirectional, unidimensional, difficult to adapt to your ministry and the capacity to share the word of God with others. So 40, 41 were good. Let's look at 42, 43, 44. The conclusion is, because we don't know, we have to be ready. So 42, 43, 44, therefore also be ready. Okay? So you can see the two at the bottom are in the 30s, 36, 7, 8, 9. At the top, in the 40s, 40, 41, 42, 3, 4. It can help you with numbers. And the thing interesting is you can have people who barely know how to read, but they can know the scriptures with such a precision that they can even tell you in which verse the scripture is, even if they don't know how to read. Because they have had tools to store their memory in an orderly way, they are able to use scriptures in an efficient way for ministry. Okay? So, 42. Watch, therefore, for you don't know in what hour your Lord comes. So the key word is watch, because you don't know. Verse 43, but you know this, One thing you know, that if the master of the house had known in what watch of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Basically, if someone who has a house knew that there is something coming, he would have kept watch. So the verse 43 is, you know one thing. The thing you know is something is coming. You don't know exactly when, you know something is coming. Like a thief in the night. If you know it, you keep watch. Does it make sense? You notice that I'm focusing always on the meaning and not on specific words? If you do that, people will remember better and will be able to share what they learn more easily as stories. Verse 44, therefore also be ready, for in an hour that you don't expect, the Son of Man will come. You can see 42, 43, 44, it's again what we call a concentric structure. 44, 2 and 44 repeat themselves, watch or be ready. Because you don't know. You don't know what hour the Lord comes in 42, in 44. You don't, for in an hour you don't expect the Son of Man will come. You see how I picture a concentric structure here? 42 on bottom, 43 on the left, 44 on the right. So you can remember, in this case, 42 and 44 are together. On the right side, what you don't know, on the left side, what you know. You don't know the hour, what you do know is, like a thief coming in the night, you have to watch. That's what you know, you have to watch. 44, because you don't know the hour the Son of Man will be coming. Does it make sense? Who could tell me the verses 42 to 44, kind of the ideas? Betsy, you want to try? Go ahead.
One is watch.
Watch.
What is the verse? Because we don't know.
Yes.
42.
Then?
43. We do know one thing that we need to watch. If we knew a thief was coming in the night, we would watch. Mm-hmm. And then 44, therefore, be ready and watch. Because yes, the hour will come and we don't know, and the Son of Man will come during
okay. Good enough. Now, let's continue together. So, we have at 36, no one knows the hour. 37, 38, 39, 9 as the days of Noah, 40, 41, one will be taken, one will be left, 42, 43, 44, therefore also be ready. Now we will move to another story, but before we move, let's see if we have someone who is ready to try to tell the story, verse by verse, with one element from each verse. Who would like to try that? As a narrative, like if you tell the story to someone, my purpose is to prepare you to share biblical stories in ways which are simple.
From all the verses?
All the verses, 36 to 44. Who wants to try? Chesi, do you want to try?
Yeah, good.
Okay, so I hide everything. And you tell me the verse number just for us. When you do that for ministry, of course, you forget the verses, you keep it simple.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to remember all the verses.
Tell me, where are the numbers?
Okay, we have one that nobody knows. Nobody knows when the end of times will come. It's a similar way like the times of Noah.
Which verse is now? We were in 36. Now it's
37, 38, 39.
Good.
Nobody knows. People will be shopping, people will be dancing, people will just go on with their normal life.
Yes. Which verse is it, this one?
This is the 38.
Very good.
Yeah. And everybody will go normal, but then It will be a surprise to us.
As in the days of Noah, nobody knew.
You?
In the same way. Yes, so we are at 39 now.
39.
Yes.
41?
Yes. Now 40, 41. Yeah. Do you remember where they are?
It's another example.
It's at the top left. I show you just a little bit. You see it? Of course, I don't show you what is the subtitle. Oh, I'm sorry, I've cut it, Chesie. I apologize. What is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You see what's happening now? Jay is helping Chesie. No. It's very good. In a standard classroom, we are blamed for helping each other. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Learn to
help.
But we won't, because we are humans, we are a community.
This is very common in Eastern European.
Yes. Switch to value. To see that Chesie is happy that Jay helps her. Don't blame Jay. Don't come, "But Jay, you should not help. It's cheating." Don't do that. Be happy that one helps each other. Okay? It's a key element. Even here, do you see how the old habits come? You think, "Oh, I should not have." No, great. I'm happy, Jay, you helped Chesie. Go on, Chesie.
After Chesie finishes, can I ask a question? But you can.
Yes, okay. Yes.
And one will be left, one will be
taken,
and one will be left.
Yes. And the two stories in verse 20, it was two men doing what? 40. Verse 40.
Oh, one was they were in the field, and one was taken.
On one left. In 41? Yes.
Sorry.
Excellent. Chesie, you're doing something every human now does. You get the information you need. What we need in the classroom is to have trust in the student. So sometimes you say, "Guys, don't help the person. I believe she would remember." And you leave the power to ask to the person. We said to Chesie, "Chesie, when you feel you will not be able to find, ask someone so that you act as a teacher with a student." So you give power to the person, because the danger is we will want to help the person before they have found themselves. The best is that Chesie finds all she can on her own and then taps in the power of the community to learn together. That's a small element which can be helpful. But we have to leverage the power of the community. Okay? Continue, Chesie. What are the next verses? 42, 43, 44? Then you become a teacher asking the help of someone else. Ask, "Who could help me for 42 to 44?
42 to 44. What's happening? Oh,
let's have a little pause. Sarah, you have a question.
Well, for me, this dynamic is a very important dynamic, at least in Kosovo, I think in Albania and Kosovo, and I think in Eastern Europe, because it is a more communal sort of culture, mm-hmm. but for me, it easily becomes plagiarism, cheating, having students not, like when they're having assessments where we are supposed to be independently assessing that they did get the knowledge, that they are cheating.
Yes.
And so this is, for me, and especially the idea of plagiarism. I mean, I think when students do papers in Albania and Kosovo, maybe Chesie can speak more than I can, I would say most of the time, there's some element of what we would say is plagiarism.
Yes. So you have to pedagogically teach them there are two ways to learn. One way we learn in community. You valorize it in the classroom and you leverage this potential. Now you say, "My friends, when I ask you to do a written exam, I want to know what you know. So you cannot go to the other to tell you what to write. If you do that, I will not know what you know." So you have to almost create a distinction. You valorize this community learning, but you said sometimes we use it, sometimes we use separate learning. Does it make sense?
So that not one or the other is necessarily better or worse.
No.
But they're just two different types of
two different types. If you want to build the church, you have to valorize community learning. You cannot do without. But you can also say, in some cases, we valorize learning alone, and I want to hear what you will see when you have people interact together. You will see arise natural leaders. It will be of huge importance for you, because you will recognize the ones who encourage the others, the ones who know the best. When someone is struggling, you will see in the classroom people going to someone. You will see natural leaders arise, and you will realize this one is the reference people go to when they struggle. You will know, okay, this one I have to invest time with to make sure their morals are in agreement with the being knowledge, heart knowledge, and you end up having a structure of the classroom appearing. Because you let interactions come, you begin to see who is the leader. And you begin to see the structure of the classroom in a way it becomes a tool for discerning how people work as a community. And then you know who has, when you have to choose who is the pastor or the study group leader, you already know. You say, ah, Roberta, she is the one everyone comes to, and she is valorized by the other. They value her insights. I can ask her to be a small group leader because it has begun to appear in the classroom. Does it make sense? Then for you as teacher, because you observe class interactions, God gives you a better discernment of who are the growing leaders, who are loved and respected by the community. And you don't end up picking up the best student of the class who is hated by all the students. You know that. Does it make sense? No.
So maybe that we keep in mind that when we do the assessment, it's maybe a different dynamic.
Yes.
When it's this process of learning.
That's a very good point. You can say integration of knowledge, learning, we learn better together. Assessment, then we want to know how well you have learned as a community for each of you. Is it okay this way? Sandra.
I was about to ask what Shadi just said. So you are... When Sarah asked a very good question, it was also for us to realize that actually there are two moments when we are learning. Sarah was emphasizing the evaluation time.
Evaluation, that's good.
The testing time.
Yes.
Where is each one?
And it's worthy. These tests are good.
For himself, mm-hmm. Himself.
Yes.
Where we're accountable mm-hmm. to the right. Teacher, to God, and to what we have learned or not mm-hmm. learned. Or, yeah.
Yes.
The first part of the
yes.
learning, where in the classroom we're already integrating.
Yes.
Integrating
information. Yes. The integration of information is done in community, where the strong becomes a blessing for the weak. What you have to train people to do is not to answer too quickly, so that the person is the one in control of their learning, so that Chelsea asks help when she feels she does not know, and that you don't have the people, the smart guy of the class, hindering her learning because he responds too quickly and Chelsea cannot show that she has learned. So you begin to teach people to help each other. To help, you have to listen. To listen, you have to recognize when the person really asks for help, but you don't do it before. And you don't blame the students, so that they don't feel guilt, shame when they learn, but they feel they are in control. So that Chelsea can say, okay, I can struggle for 10 seconds, it's okay. When I realize I don't reach the data, I ask someone to help me. Does it make sense?
And actually that helps you remember it next time.
Yes.
For me, it's like the moments I struggle and then I have the answer, it's like, okay, next time.
Yes. Yes, exactly. This struggle becomes the fertile ground for learning better. Because you have recognized you don't know, you will want to know. In English, you have a saying which says, you don't bring to the water a horse who is not thirsty. Did you know this one? That's my spiritual philosophy of education. If you want to teach people, you have to have thirsty people. You have to have people who want to learn. This type of interactions, you valorize the one who learns well. You don't shame the one who does not learn, but you encourage them. Does it make sense? And then people want to learn. They want to memorize the verses because for the community, they feel good, they feel useful, they feel valorized in their learning. Yeah. Let's continue. So, Chesi, the verses 42-34, you did not remember. Who, do you want to ask help for someone? Who could help Chesi? Ask the help.
Bob,
could you help Chesi, 42-44?
Well, 42-44 is similar.
Excellent, I love it. Great. Which verse is this one? Who could help Chesi?
It's 43.
43. Yeah. What was the 42? Who could help Chesi?
Therefore, you don't know.
Yes.
The time.
Yes.
I know the verse, but I am not sitting.
Yes. Since you don't know the time, what do you need to do?
Watch.
And then we come to 43. What is it, Chesi? Yes.
But since they don't know, we have to always be ready.
Yes. The one thing you know is that you have to watch. The one thing you know is that during the night, if you knew that the thief is coming during the night, you would watch. And then 44, can you tell us what it's about?
44 was that, therefore be ready all the time.
Excellent. When the Son of Man comes. Yes. Excellent. For in an hour that you don't expect, the Son of Man will come.
So recalling something helps you memorize and forcing your mind to recall it. If you don't recall.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, your memory is built one step at a time. By developing a spatial structure, you prepare your memory to be structured and filled. These little positions become receptacles for your learning, which helps to structure your memory more easily. Do you realize we are memorizing already 9 verses? Okay, it's true, it's not word for word. But you still remember key elements of 9 verses. And it's just the beginning. We are going for a bunch more, 7 more. Yes.
I would like to know, is there a method as to why the scriptures are going like this and not the normal way that we would read them, like left to right and down?
Okay. That's a very good question. Since it's a two-dimensional structure, there is no way I can put the verse from top to bottom. If I would do that, I would not have a graphic two-dimensional. I would have a list of pictures, one under the other, which means at a memory level, it would be more difficult to remember. In this two-dimensional format, you remember the picture and you can remember the numbers. The tricky part is you have to accept that your eyes will need to go to different places to get the different verses. It's an added challenge. But I think my opinion is you can, in this way, help your memory to be two-dimensional. So it's a trade-in. It's true, it's easier to have linear, but for memory purposes, it helps you to localize in a picture the different verses. You see 36 on the right, 37, 38, 39 left, then dot, and you can move in your brain. Do I answer your question, Betsy? Dalia? So basically, you move toward a two-dimensional memory. If I would put the verses still vertical like that, your brain would not work as efficiently. By trying to put the text the closest to the numbers, I reinforce this memorization with the position. You will remember 36 written under 36. You will remember that 37, 38, 39 is on the left. Your spatial memory will be used to remember better. It's true, to move from groups of verses to groups of verses, you will have to skip. But my experience is it works. It's just a little adaptation, a little effort which is worth to do.
And our eyes are already moving the way that...
And your eyes are learning to move according to the position, so that you structure your memory as you do it. Okay? So let's now, what we can do is, let's stop with just 9 verses for you just to understand the process. Do you think you can do more verses if needed? It's just a matter of taking time together. We have done the level of cognitive integration with a spatial structure. We do the interaction together. Let's play a little bit with these 9 verses. Now that, Betsy, you have done the 9 verses, let's begin to play. Chesi. And Chesi, now between 36 and 44, I remove your high geographic. Everyone? And Chesi, ask someone a verse. You're the teacher, choose a student. You pick a verse number, or you pick a content and you ask the person, in which verse do we have this content?
Roberta, verse 41.
Roberta, 41. And tell where it is. Is it on the left, on the right?
It's on the left.
Left.
And it's...
Is it alone or with another verse?
Excuse me?
Is it alone or with another verse? Yes.
Okay,
36, 37, 38.
So 41 is two men will be in the field, one will be taken
and
the other.
Jay has, Roberta, is correct? Which verse is this one? 40.
Okay.
You're almost there, Roberta. Now let Roberta say, what is 41? Great. With a little help, Roberta's imperfect memory is perfected. If we take the voice of Roberta and we sing instead of her, we harm her memory. If we just give enough, which is what Jess said, Roberta can say, of course, I get it. And her memory is reinforced. And you will remember you have 40 and 41 together, top left. Teacher Roberta, who is your student now?
Oh.
Or you can, the fun part is you can choose a verse and you roll around before. So everyone begins to think and you keep people on their toes. Go on. I like this one.
All right, let's see. What is the verse that says, watch, therefore?
And then you look at the room, those who know, you lift the hand.
Okay, so let's see.
You don't respond, but you lift the hand.
Sarah. Oh, watch therefore, for we know not the hour.
Okay. Where would you guess? Do you remember the position of the verses? Just review the position in the space.
Could it be 42? Could it be the very end?
Yeah.
Yes, I think 42, you're right. Another one would be possible? 44 could be possible.
36.
But 36, no, I'm checking, I was wondering, but...
She is combined too, I think. Is she asking for help, sir?
Sorry?
Are you asking for help?
I am totally asking for help.
So 42, I think you're right. Let me read for you 42. Watch therefore, for you don't know in what hour your lot comes. Sarah, good job. Good job. I was thinking with Colin that 36 was there also, but 36 just says, no one knows of that day and hour, but only the angels of heaven, not even the angels of heaven, but only my Father.
And do you know why I thought it was 36? It's because the eyeball is right there.
Yes. Yes. So 44 was close, because 44 says, therefore also be ready and watch are very close, for in that hour that you don't expect the Son of Man will come. So
42 and 44 are
connected, yes.
Yeah, and I think I may have mixed them.
Well, one says be ready, one says watch.
Yes, and I reread the verses for you so that you can reinforce your memory. Teacher Sarah, what verse would you like to ask, or what would you like to...
What's verse 38?
Leah, 38. Tell us where you see it, so that we reinforce our visual memory. Where is the 38?
Okay. It's on the left down, left corner.
Left corner? What is the group? You have three verses. What are the numbers?
As
Noah's days. What are the three verses?
First one is as Noah's days.
Yes. Number?
37.
Excellent.
And 38, they will be eating, drinking, marrying. They will never know.
Yes.
And you want to say also 39?
You want to, so tell us.
Yes.
As they did not know, nobody knows when. Yeah. I read now. I serve as a resource for the learners. So I'm not in control. You become the key persons. I serve you by repeating the verse for you. So I repeat the verse for you, which is 39. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Does it help?
Yes.
My purpose is to assist you in your learning. I'm no more the center. You are the center, integrating information, meditating, learning together. The community becomes the focus. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And we learn together. That's what we try to reach. If we learn to do that together, people will see always more the value of the church. Teacher Leah, do you want a student?
Colin?
Verse 41.
Okay, that's the verse after Teacher Sarah's, is that right? I mean before. The verse before. Okay,
do you have two together?
Okay, so the two together, one is about men and one is about women.
What are the two numbers? Excellent.
So 40 is two men in the field.
Yes.
And one is taken and the other is left.
Yes.
Then 41 is two women grinding at Noah.
Mm-hmm.
One is taken.
Wow. Teacher Colin. Excellent. Therefore, be ready for in an hour.
If the owner of the house would know what
it's called. It's 43, this one. Yeah.
Yeah, 43, yeah. And then 44, therefore, be ready.
Be ready.
Watch.
Yes. Be ready for in an hour that you don't expect, the Son of Man will come. So you can see that 44 is close to 36. Okay? Now, don't stop your teaching of the Bible with this beam knowledge, with this community. Bring people to God. Let us now finish by closing our eyes. You imagine this story apart, and you ask Jesus to show you which verse he would like to speak to you about, or what he would like to tell you about this story. You can imagine you're in a place you like, you can imagine the time of Noah, or two people grinding a meal in the field. Whatever, pick a picture of this story and ask Jesus to come and teach you and speak to you now. Okay? Thank you, Lord.